Navigation system.
Please say a command.
On. Ignition. Powered. Seatbelts. Fastened. Shift. Drive. Twin Cities sports fans, hold on tight. Live from the TCL broadcast studios, this is The Ride with Royce.
He's going the distance.
Danny Salazar just walked Michael Trout for the second time in the game, and they took him out. It's only the fourth inning, I think, maybe the bottom of the third.
That's so, a quick hook.
Well, he's kind of coming back from a little ailment, right? And I think they're just kind of getting him started on his road to recovery. Because last time we saw him here in Minnesota, he was awfully good. The Twins didn't have a chance, and then he got sore after mm-hmm. that. He's had some troubles, but it's 1-1 Angels and Cleveland and in the third inning.
What prevented him from postseason last year? Same kind of thing he's dealing with right now?
Shoulder or some damn
thing. Okay.
I don't know what it was. But anyhow, is it a Twins problem or was it a Yankees problem? That's the question. They got four now in Detroit. Detroit's not very good, obviously. They got a lot of anonymous people. But I don't know. They got as we talked about yesterday, they got the 13 run Sunday. But beyond that, they haven't really done much with the bats here for a week. So we'll see. We'll see. I don't know what to think of this.
I still like their chances just because every time this season that we've thought, well, this is it, they're done, they've bounced right back and mm-hmm. they've gotten themselves right into postseason contention. And you know what? You've got seven games against one of the worst teams in baseball left, and you do have three against the Tribe, who is one of the best teams in baseball. But you, as Rook likes to say, you just have to be the second slowest when you're trying to run away from the Bear, and that's the case
that
here.
That is true. What do you think there, Manny? You think we got a Yankee problem or a Twins problem here?
I think it might be a little bit of both, mm-hmm. but I think, you know, the Twins are good, and they've played well for the most part this year, you know, save for a few spots during the season, but you just kind of get the sense they're not quite ready yet, and I think that has more to do with it than just
they're four games over 500, so yeah. it's not. I mean, they've been okay, but nothing to write home about. Okay, who's chucking against them tonight? Jordan Zimmerman. Jordan Zimmerman, who's had a horrendous year, and the Tigers still owe him an ungodly amount of money. Right, he's one of the guys that they owe a tremendous.
I believe
amount
it was
of money.
A 5-year, $110 million contract.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't listen to my advice on that one.
Well, and that's why I hate when the Twins fans come out and say, "Well, the cheap pullheads don't spend any money." Look at the mess Detroit has on their hands right now. They got a lot of big contracts mm-hmm. with a lot of years left on them right now for a bunch of aging players.
And by the way, the Twins spent money on Phil Hughes, and they spent money on Irv Santana,
mm-hmm.
and they spent money on
Ricky Nolasco.
Ricky Nolasco. I think it was $170 million between the four of them, three of them, right?
One with an extension, too.
Yeah, yep. With the extension. Was it that much?
Might have been.
I might have thrown somebody else in there. It's just that, and they got Irv out of the deal. Then, you know, I know when Phil Hughes, we can now all look back and say, why in God's name did they give the extension to Phil Hughes? When they gave it to Phil Hughes, everybody said, hey, oh, good. They got him locked up because he looked like he'd hit the point in his career where he was going to be good.
And after that first year with the Twins, he received Cy Young votes, did he not?
Yeah, he was good. Well, he was a number one starter that season. I'm not saying he's a number one
sure,
starter.
But that
but
year
he was.
He was
a number one starter. He pitched 209 innings and two-thirds, right? He had to pitch 210 to get he just threw nothing but strikes. And then the fastball went from 95 to 90. But what happened?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And so, I don't know.
I'm confident.
Here's the deal.
Okay.
Dozier's been cool lately, right? He's been okay.
Sure.
Nothing special. Joe's been great. Polanco's been okay. Eddie's been exposed. Eddie's played too much. He's down to he's hitting 250. Grossman is Grossman. I mean, there's not much after the top of that order. And Sano is a, we talked about it yesterday, is a big gap in the front of it. So I don't know if they can. They need, what do they need? We thought they needed 84 or 5. They might only need 83.
If the Angels lose this game, they only need to go 500.
Yeah.
They need to go 5-5. And that's the reason why I have confidence, is that seven games against the worst team, and there's nobody behind you that's any good.
Meanwhile, Texas, which has been buried more often than the Twins and gave up, they're only 2.5 out. Seattle, they made some moves. About 5 days ago, they were saying, there's a chance here, and they haven't won since.
And none of those teams really scare you.
No, none of them chase you. You know, as you said, it's easy to win a race when nobody's chasing you, right? So, I don't know. Twins, it'll be, it is interesting. I mentioned St. John, St. Thomas are going to play a football game there Saturday, and people are all worried about the condition of the field. I say, first of all, they're not back here till Friday. It's not like they're back here Monday. Second of all, the Vikings and the Twins shared Met Stadium for 21 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they would play 3 or 4 football games counting the exhibitions while the baseball season was still on. And they had no agronomy back then. They just played on whatever was there. And with modern agronomy and having 5-6 days, even if it rains Saturday, which it might, supposedly in the forecast for later in the day, worry about the fielding and the pitching. I mean, not the fielding. Worried about the hitting and the pitching. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about the condition of the field.
Well, and that, I mean, every year they have a concert there.
Yes.
In the summertime. Yes. So there is nothing to worry about in that respect.
Now, I have a line, and I did a little thing. I did a longer piece, but I did a little thing on the how this came about, how Dave St. Peter hooked up with Glenn Caruso and asked him if they might be interested in playing a game there a few years ago, and particularly a St. John's game.
Mm-hmm.
And they met at a Kenny Chesney concert at Target Center, mm-hmm. at Target Field.
One of the many.
I put in the copy at one of the frequent Kenny Chesney contests.
His annual stop.
At Target Field.
Sure.
I'm very interested to see if frequent makes it. I just one. Sometimes those little digs, people don't get it, that it's a little dig.
Sure.
And they take it out. And that's very offensive to me.
Now, question about the field alignment. I know one of the sidelines is going to be the left field foul line.
To the first base.
They're not adding seats at all in the outfield, are they?
I don't think there's anything in there. I don't think they're putting bleachers on the field.
Because you said they've sold 35,000?
34,000 as of 10 o'clock this morning.
Holy cow.
They got 48 hours left.
That's
suite,
amazing.
Every suite gone.
Oh yeah.
Every one of the decks gone.
How many did Linneman get? How many suites?
I don't know, but there's the thing about St. John's and St. Thomas alums. A few of them are successful.
Yes, they've got money.
They're downtown and they're successful and they're taking their buddies and their coworkers.
And they're all going to be partying at that game
on
Saturday.
Beer is being sold.
Oh, good.
Dave St. Peter told me that they are going to try to make sure the vendors stay out of the student sections, and they are upgrading security to a certain degree to maybe help check IDs before we sell the beers.
Good.
Yeah, but having been at a couple of Johnny's Tommy's games, that crowd can't get a hell of a lot happier than they have been at those games, even with beer being sold.
Right.
But I walked in late on this. The game is in town this year, right?
Target Field. 35,000 people.
Okay. Because it's always a quagmire on 94 getting through St. Cloud and all of that
biggest,
when they play up there.
Biggest crowd ever in Division III football before Saturday, 17,000 last year. At Whitewater and Oshkosh, they'll probably double that.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it
will be fun because it's not serious taunting, between them because they're all buddies.
They're all buddies, exactly.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back. This is the Ride with Ricey.
Well, I'm
All right, who saw the new tattoo on Ricky Ricky Rubio? Our guy, clean cut. Well, not that clean cut, Ricky.
He's got a full-fledged beard going, too, now.
He's got the real beard going, the slick back hair, and his right arm has got a sleeve of a tattoo, man. I don't know what it is. Can anybody tell what it is? He's pointing a finger, right? It looks like a finger being pointed. A big fat finger pointed maybe towards, he's on a fast break or something. I don't, looks like a brain with a finger on it or something. And then a flower. It is quite the deal.
Yeah.
And this NBA freelance writer, what did I say her name was? Sohee?
C-Rat Sohee.
Oh, yeah, that tweet was great.
She sent out a tweet saying,
we've actually been trying to get her on the Raised by Wolves podcast for the last couple of months. Yeah,
well,
she's really good.
She's available. She says she's going to Toronto now and looking for freelance work. But anyway, she said, Ricky came into the league as, yes, I'll have your daughter home by 8. And now it's, I'm even your mama's daddy. Or
but
some damn
even thing. Your wife calls me daddy.
Even your wife calls me daddy. I'm curious as to how he's going to play this year. What are they? Are they going to be any good without Hayward?
Utah, it'll be okay. I mean, Ricky
who's
being there will
carry
help.
Who's going to carry the operation now? Who's going to score points?
That's a good question. I mean, Rudy Gobert is really good defensively.
Really good,
he's going to have to score a little bit more, and he's still got Joe Johnson there. Rodney Hood.
Joe is as old as me.
Yeah.
Rodney Hood could be a good player.
Yeah, Rodney Hood's pretty solid. They got the kid from Louisville, Donovan Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be okay. I don't know if, I don't think they're
a playoff team, but
I think they'll be okay, though. They won't be horrible.
Well, it's interesting. What's Ricky? 28 now? 29?
27.
27, man.
Yeah,
alive.
I think
it just doesn't seem the same without him, does it? Meanwhile, the Timberwolves apparently are going to sign Aaron Brooks. They probably will announce that. Mm-hmm. 32 years old. Does he do anything for you there, Manny?
Sure. As a backup point guard, I'm perfectly fine with that. He played with Tibbs in the 14-15 season, his last year in Chicago. So
He's played everywhere. He makes about 36-37% of his threes, and he's been in the league since. Where are his stops?
He was in Indiana last year, I believe.
Okay.
The Pacers, backing up Jeff Teague.
really?
Yeah, in Indiana last year.
Okay,
yeah.
He hung with Houston. 4 years. He actually had one really good year for them. He was 19.6 in 2009-2010. Was Kevin there then? Was McHale there then?
That might have been Adelman, actually.
That
might have been Rick Adelman.
He averaged 19.6, and he shot 40% on threes. But that was a long time ago. One more year in Houston, then Phoenix, Sacramento. Back to Houston briefly. And then all of a sudden he wasn't playing much in Houston in 13-14
mm-hmm.
and spent some time in Denver. Chicago played all, Tibbs used him 82 games, used him in all of them.
Yeah, well, because that was, Derrick Rose was still there, but he was mm-hmm. still kind of banged up, and Tibbs was kind of relying on Aaron Brooks to be his lead guard, so.
I'll tell you one thing, we got ourselves some experience.
Yeah,
as our backcourt, Brooks and Crawford. That's
Jamal Crawford's 37.
I thought he was 39. Is he only 37?
I think he's 37. Yeah.
Is he
only 37?
I thought he was 39.
Oh, okay.
Did those two guys play together ever?
Crawford and Brooks.
It's hard to not have played with Crawford, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know if they ever. Uh-huh. I don't know if they ever crossed paths with each other.
And they still haven't announced the Wiggins deal. Tomorrow is media day. Mm-hmm. Starts at 9 in the morning, and it is interesting. Like the early interviews are with the Jefferson and Trimble, and as the day progresses, they get the other guys. But I would imagine they are saving the Wiggins announcement for media day, wouldn't you?
It sounds like that, yeah. Sounds that way.
It's going to happen tomorrow. So, and then it's off to San Diego for the training camp. And then China for exhibition game. No home exhibition
games. No home exhibition games. That's correct.
I walked through there the other day, and they're still pounding and clamoring behind the walls there. So
is it going to be ready in time?
Yeah.
They say so.
Oh,
yeah. I've been at it for a long time.
Hey, all I care about is open. Let's open up First Ave. Let's come on. Get that stuff. Get the scaffolding out of the way here. Let's go.
Is First Ave closed?
Well, it's not closed, but it's there's just an obstacle. Oh, man.
Yeah, there's a couple lanes, I think, that are cut off because of.
We'll turn those into bike lanes, Manny. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
The new schedule, TV schedule, FSN for the Timberwolves, has them listed as 75 games on FSN and then 7 national games. There must be some games that are that'll be televised by both, right?
Yeah, because I think
ESPN does a game, then they can do it on FSN too.
Because I saw there's like, I think it's one, they're going to have one game on ABC, and then they're going to have like 8 or 9
ESPN, 7 on TNT, and 8 on NBA TV. I would imagine when you got NBA TV, you can do it on FSN.
Yeah,
right?
Well, because usually what happens with the NBA TV is it'll be a national feed on NBA TV, but they'll take the FSN feed. So it'll be Dave Benz and Jim Pete on the broadcast, but just it'll be watched nationally.
Which, by the way, they're the best tandem in town.
They're very good.
Seriously, they're very good. I like those guys together.
I think with the team, now they weren't too credible last year, but when the team, if the team can be competitive, I think they'll be better because they don't have to make excuses for everything then, you know.
But Jim Pete
during the lean years, did his share of sugarcoating.
You think so?
You have to, you know.
I think of all of the guys.
I don't know. I guess we still.
I think of all the color guys we have in this market, think Jim Pete is by far the most objective.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too.
He's, now he still hasn't lived down his years ago, his strong endorsement of Mark Blount, though, as a center, right? Wasn't it Blount, Mark?
Mark Blount.
Yeah, Mark Blount.
I got him in the Wally trade, right?
Yeah.
I don't even remember his name.
Pete was all in on him for a while.
Yeah, they brought in Ricky Davis and Mark Blount and Marcus. Ooh. Remember, Marcus Banks was going to be the X factor of that trade. Too,
how
remember?
Many Marcus times Banks. Have we how many times have we done this? How many times have we redone it?
You know what, though?
Let's just this have
is this the year.
Let's just have this be the team for about 4 years here.
It'll be fun. Why?
Let's just have this be the team.
I think what we have
now. No more chaos.
Because they traded for like a legit top 10 to 12 player.
Yeah, this will be a fun year at Target Center.
There's no, I think the only question mark is just how Wiggins is going to continue to grow and develop if he does at all. So I think that, other than that, I think we have a pretty good idea of what we have now. That's a good thing.
Bad news. Bucky Scribner, the former Viking punter, the longtime punter of the Packers, wasn't he? He was with Green Bay and came over
and
here,
came
right?
Came here, yes.
Died of brain cancer. He had brain cancer for the last 3 years. He was 57 years old.
Oh, wow.
But he was, apparently it was a well-kept secret, but he had brain cancer.
Where was he living, Pat, does it say?
It sounds like he was back home in, Overland. The funeral's in Overland Park, Kansas, so he was back home in Kansas. He punted at the University of Kansas in the early 80s. That's where he got started. And, of course, was unique because he was a lefty punter, right? Lefty
one of the punter. Greatest football names ever, Bucky Scribner.
He averaged 43.8 yards in college at KU. And it was not well known that he was... He was in this kind of shape. He was actually drafted by the Packers. Of course, that was in 83 when they had
15
endless rounds?
Rounds.
He got picked in the 11th round, But anyway.
That's too bad.
Bucky Scribner, former Viking, died of brain cancer at age 57. We shall return with a John Hight Sports Update. Francisco Lindor, 3-run homer in the top of the 5th, I believe, and it's 4-1 Cleveland over the Angels. Boy, has he been good lately. Woof-ta.
Remember when his kid, who was it, who's the GM for Cleveland?
Now?
Yeah, whatever he is. Remember he joined Hamilton in the booth in spring training?
The little kid, yeah.
And he said, hey, any secrets that you want to give us? Well, he's trying to sign Lindor to a 7-year contract.
Right. It was like a $100 million contract or something. Yeah.
God, that was good. Let me see if I can find that. That was awesome. Great.
What do you got, Johnny Height?
This update sponsored by Sprint. You know what's better than getting a new smartphone? Getting a great deal on the best-selling Motorola from Sprint. Visit Sprint.com/freephones to learn more. Sprint. Twins in Detroit open up a four-game series against the Tigers. Adalberto Mejia for the Twins. Jordan Zimmermann goes for the Tigers. Facing Jordan Zimmermann, Dozier, Mauer, Polanco, Rosario, Escobar, Kepler, Buxton, Castro, and Grossman. That game, by the way, for your viewing plans, that is not on Fox Sports North. That is an FS1 game.
Oh, really?
So, yes, okay. You'll have to watch it on FS1 if you want to watch it. Twins with a game and a half lead over the Angels. Angels playing the Indians this afternoon. As Patrick said, Francisco Lindor with a 3-run homer. The Indians lead the Angels 4-1. That is in the fifth. Boy, he's got a nice stroke, doesn't he?
Yeah, and he is. The last 6 weeks, he's been out of his mind.
Last night, and then I just watched that homer he hit here. Oh, yeah. Just effortless.
By the way, the Angels fans don't appear to have playoff fever.
They don't got the
fever.
Looks
like there's about 12 grand there. So.
Other Major League scores, Dodgers beat the Phillies 5-4. That cuts their magic number to 1. A slight scare for the Dodgers in that one. Justin Turner was removed after he was hit on the hand by a pitch.
Get a haircut!
Luckily, it was just a right thumb contusion, and the x-rays were
never negative. Played for the Yankees.
No, you
wouldn't take him.
Couldn't. One other baseball note about that little girl that got hit in yesterday's Twins-Yankees game. She was 2 years old, we did find out today.
Oh, my God.
And WABC reporting today she's doing all right. She was kept for observation overnight. Brian Dozier, before today's game, said the young girl who was hit had swelling and a broken nose, is in the hospital, but it looks like she'll left.
So the Yankees do not have netting in the down to the end of the dugouts.
Correct.
Then, huh? And they have opposed doing that to this point, apparently?
It sounded like it from what I read this morning.
Yeah, I think that'll probably change.
I would think so.
It should have changed when they put the park up.
There's still a lot of those idiots who don't want to look through netting, even though once they start looking through netting, they don't know it's there.
It disappears.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Let me ask you, just between us and all the people listening, Dad had any phone calls lately? Who's he trying to get? Because he won't tell us. Can you?
He's trying to get Lindor to play for 7 more years.
Yes.
Oh,
God, that
wonderful.
Is so great.
What's the kid, about 4, maybe?
Yeah. Brody Chernoff reveals Francisco Lindor's contract negotiations live with Tom Hamilton in spring training.
That's great.
I got to remember to save this. That was spectacular.
Johnny, we got the great Buster Olney coming up, so right. We will get more work out of you.
I'll save it for next hour.
All right. Buster Olney is with us for our Talking Baseball segment. Buster, you watched Chris Sale strike out 13 last night to get to over 300, huh?
Yeah, just I tell you this, so much for the concern that his stuff has been lost at the end of the long regular season. My goodness, he was so dominant that, you know, David Ross, I did the game broadcast with him, and the former Cubs and Red Sox catcher. And after the Orioles went down meekly in the bottom of the fourth, he was like, well, that pretty much was the end of that. It's like the Orioles hitters just sort of decided at that point, you know what, all we're going to try to do is put the ball in play. And any first pitch strike that they saw, they were swinging at it because they did not want to get to 2 strikes against that nasty slider, the great changeup. I still think Corey Kluber's the leader for the American League Cy Young Award, but Chris Sale, it was a statement last night that he's ready for October.
And I happen to have the MVP ballot this year for the American League, and he is the only Red Sox player on the ballot. He is by far their most valuable player this year.
100%. Oh, yeah, no question about it. And it's going to be an odd Red Sox team when you compare them with some of the Red Sox teams in the past, because I mean, how often it's going to be more like a Giants team where their chances of advancing through October are going to be largely dependent on the quality of the starting pitching and this tremendous bullpen depth that they developed over the last 6 weeks.
Are they going to keep everybody on 5 days? Are they going to give somebody an extra day? What are they going to do? They get some extra days before the start of the playoffs, so maybe that's enough. I don't know.
Well, they have to continue to sort of put, you know, keep pushing on the gas because the Yankees never lose these days. Yeah. I think it's, what, 9 or 10 straight days that the Yankees and Red Sox have traded serve, so to speak. I think that for 10 straight days, the gap has been exactly 3 games. The Yankees win, the Red Sox win. The Yankees win, the Red Sox win. And as long as the Yankees are playing well and the Red Sox lead holds at 3, I think they'll play it out till they clinch. And, of course, the last 4 games of the Red Sox regular season are against Houston, who they have to, potentially face in the division series. So I do think that you're going to see the Red Sox probably at some point pull back and give Sale a last bit of rest before he gets to face the Astros.
So Lindor just hit a 3-run homer to put Cleveland ahead 4-1. Who's their MVP, Jose Ramirez or Lindor? Because Lindor, I know, wasn't great the first 2 months, but the last 6 weeks he's been unbelievable. I think, and since they started playing great, he's been great. I think he's their MVP, but it's pretty dang close.
Yeah, Jose Ramirez, their MVP, and I love the fact that I can hear your brain going as you're trying to figure out what to do with these 10 spots in the ballot. Look, Jose Ramirez, you know, from beginning of the season to the end, has been their best and most consistent player, and he's especially tough with runners on base. During the course of the season, I was talking to some of the Tigers staff, and they were saying, one of the coaches said, he's the most competitive player in the American League. He does not like to give away an at-bat. He does not like to give away a pitch. He's a terrific defensive player. He started the year at third base. Kipnis got hurt. He started to play second base. He's done a great job with that. In talking with David Ross about when you're working against the Indians lineup, he said, man, you know, you've got terrific hitters at the top end, he said, but the guy who wears you out is Jose Ramirez in that 5 spot because he comes up and he just puts up a nasty at-bat. He's fouling off pitches. And I think as of this moment, I want to say he's got 84 extra base hits on the year. He's a machine, an extra base machine.
Yeah, he's terrific, but man, Lindor's been good. Hey, by the way, when are they going to get anybody back here? They're playing great, but I don't know if you want to go into the playoffs with Urshela playing third and some of these other. Are they going to get anybody back or not?
Well,
their outfield is a mess.
Yeah, and Bradley Zimmer is pretty much done for the year. He's out 6 to 8 weeks after he got hurt on that dive into first base. So they're essentially going to be playing guys like Austin Jackson center field. Now, Jason Kipnis volunteered to play center field, and they took a look at him the other day. And perhaps, you know, this is someone who as an amateur was an outfielder, and perhaps they'll give him a look on certain days, maybe when Corey Kluber pitches because nobody hits the ball in the air out there anyway. But I do wonder, you know, the Indians value their defense so much if they would feel comfortable putting Kipnis out in center field in a big spot. And look, Michael Brantley, if you saw how that injury took place, at the moment it happened, he looked like when Vinny Testaverde blew out his Achilles tendon.
Yeah.
That was his physical reaction. Some of the Indians told me that's what he thought happened. He has this ligament problem in his ankle. I don't think the Indians are expecting anything out of him moving forward, but they're pretty good without him.
Chisenhall, he's hurt too, but he might be back. Huh? He might be one guy they get.
Well, and of course, Andrew Miller.
That's the most important one.
Andrew Miller is the big one, of course, that they've gotten back, and he looks okay, and they're going to do everything they can to make him right.
Yeah, but they can't lose even if they want to. It's unbelievable how good they are. Our Fighting Twinks went into New York, looked terrible, had a chance to win Monday, had no chance Tuesday or Wednesday. And if you look at them, they got 13 runs Sunday. But if you go back to last Wednesday, beyond that game, they have not been swinging the bats at all. And you're just kind of wondering if it's wearing on them not having Snow and, relying on guys like Eduardo Escobar to hit in the middle of the lineup. But the lineup looks a little tired right now.
Yeah, and let's face it, that's the difference between a team like the Yankees with a $200 million payroll, along with the fact that they've got some good young players, the margin for error. That seems like it's really manifested itself in that series. And here's the other thing, too, and I really believe this. We talked about how great the Indians are. They're the best team in baseball. I think the Yankees are the biggest threat of any team to Cleveland because they can match up in a lot of ways. You know, Luis Severino, actually, he didn't throw that great against the Twins yesterday. 3 innings, 71 pitches, 3 runs. Yeah, he's been a force at the front of the rotation. It just felt like watching those games that this was a case where the Twins just don't have as much firepower as the Yankees do. It's the last couple weeks I talked with executives of other teams. They're amazed that the Twins are even in the position that they're in.
Yeah, hey, if Betances starts throwing strikes, it's the old Nasty Boys thing, too. I mean, if the Twins are behind the Yankees after six, yep, they might as well pack them up. They're not going to score.
Well, and even if Betances doesn't throw strikes, it's still the Nasty Boy thing because just have so much depth. You know, Chad Green is one of the best-kept secrets in baseball, one of their middle-inning relievers. He's been unbelievable. And then you have David Robertson and you have Tommy Canley. Aroldis Chapman at the back end. My goodness, again, talking about the differences between the teams, you've got the Yankees with Robertson and with Chapman paying $30 million, essentially, to those two guys, right?
Yeah.
And you have the Twins trying to go out there and compete with that.
Matt Belisle throwing bullets. Hey, Jason Shrevey, who sounds like an GMC president, he was too good for him yesterday.
Yeah, and, you know, he's like the sixth or seventh guy in their bullpen. And they, of course, upgraded their rotation during the course of the year by adding Sonny Gray. It's a really good team, especially now that Aaron Judge is back and being productive in the middle of that order.
You know, it's kind of interesting to watch Maurer. He's back and he's hitting the ball hard, but he's the throwback. He's the throwback because he doesn't hit any home runs. He's the only guy in the league who's hitting well and not hitting any home runs.
I just checked it a few minutes ago, okay? 154 players have 15 or more home runs in the big leagues this year.
Yes.
Okay?
That used to be, oh, he had a good year. He hit 15 home runs.
Yeah. 110 players have 20 or more homers. And I was thinking about this over the weekend because a really smart baseball person said to me, you know, you have so many players talking about launch angle and I'm going to get an angle on the bat. And this person said, if you're trying to angle your bat, what's the highest pitch that you can hit in the strike zone? And we both agreed it's somewhere in the groin area.
Yeah.
If you're trying to lift the ball, which guess what that means? You're seeding half of the strike zone. And if, in fact, in the next couple of years, they go to an electronic strike zone where they're calling strikes essentially from the middle of the chest down, those guys, a generation of hitters trying to launch the ball, they're dead.
Dozier's kind of he's an interesting guy. He's the only guy that hits that high pitch for a home run. He doesn't launch angle it. He just kind of hits it up there. He still chases the high ones, but he's about the only guy. The rest of them are trying to lift. So it is something. But anyway, the Dodgers finally beat the Phillies. Man, I don't know if they're out of it or not. Are they out of the funk or not?
They're not out of it, I was just around them last weekend in Washington. What's clear is that this, you know, organization with a remarkable depth that allowed them to win so many games during the year, it's astonishing to me that we're near the end of the season and they're getting ready for the postseason and they still have big holes. They don't know who's going to play left field. They're hoping Curtis Granderson's hitting well, but he's a very streaky player, and he's been in a bad streak lately. They got Logan Forsythe and Chase Utley at second base, but they're not sure which guy they're going to play. But much more importantly, I mean, we talked about, you know, the Yankee bullpen, and we know that the Astros have a deep bullpen. The Indians have a deep bullpen. The Dodgers have Kenley Jansen to pitch probably 5-6 outs at the end of playoff games, but they're still trying to sort through who's going to pitch the sixth, who's going to pitch the seventh. And it's a big deal because the Dodgers typically this year will ask their starting pitcher to only go two times through the order before they pull the ripcord and reach out for the bullpen. And some of those candidates have been struggling. It's going to be a problem.
Okay, do me a favor. When you're talking to the smart Alex who are going to fix the problem of September call-ups by having a 30, you can only have 30 people active for a game, four of those are going to be starting pitchers. So you have the same problem. You still have 15 pitchers. You have to limit the number of pitchers who can be active for a game. You can't say 30 players when four of those are going to be the last four starting pitchers.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because last week, and it tells you how stupid I am, I can't believe I didn't think of this before. An easy way around that would just be to say the last four guys to start for you are required to be active on your roster.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, anything like that. But
yeah, and you start with that. You're 100% right. But I do think that you're probably going to see an adjustment for next year. They got very close to making an adjustment last year, and everybody hates it. And you think, and I was around the Dodgers last weekend. They got players doubling up in the lockers in the visiting locker room in Washington because they have 39 active players right now.
Unbelievable. And Dusty's apt to use all 20 pitchers if he gets an opportunity. All right. Hey, thanks, Buster. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks, right before the playoffs start.
That sounds great, Patrick.
All right.
Talk to you.
The great Buster Olney. We shall return. This is The Ride with Race. Rick Winslow last week defeated any of us.
No.
I heard we were all 2-3 picking against the point spread.
Yes.
Hey, by the way, did you hear Judd's excuse for being 1-14?
Oh, God,
he forgot to put the Sunday and Monday picks in. So he had one right. He forgot to fill it out. And now it's not like last year when you just get credit, you know, you get to take the pick. So he went 1-14, not because he only picked one out of 15.
Why would he just pick a Thursday game and not do the rest of the week? What a dummy.
I know. I agree with
you. Was he waiting for the spreads to change? Maybe he was waiting for the spreads to change up until Sunday.
I don't think they change them once they do them, though, do they? Do they change
them? I think they did with the Viking game once Bradford was ruled out.
What did it go to then?
I don't know what it ended up going to.
I think it only went to, I think it was, what, 7.5?
It was 6.5.
Then it went to 5, I think, or something like that.
No, Judd, you just suck at making picks.
He does, but that wasn't it. Anyway, 5:40. We got a contestant. Do we know who it is?
Yes, we do. His name, let me bring it up here really quickly. Holmquist will be calling us.
All right. It'll be fun. Just to have you near.